This is Description, episode 27 for November. What day am I going to make it?
There are no monkeys in the root cellar!
Welcome to Description. Valerie in Toronto. Hi, I'm Valerie, and I am still in Toronto. And as promised, last episode, when it was all about voting and shit, by the way, one of my guys won, one of my guys lost, but the Democrats pretty much won, so yay! But it's back to Canada and Canadian stuff, and me stuff. I'm at an odd angle from the mic again. Excuse me. Oh, by the way, there's going to be swearing, and there's going to be a lot of editing, because I have something to do that would usually take me about an hour or more. So you don't want to be around for all of that. Believe me, no. So there'll be lots of, lots and lots of editing. And obviously I have some sort of a thing in my throat. Anyway, like that's new. So I thought, those of you who never listened to a Description 1, which would be, you know, everybody, wouldn't quite have gotten the idea of why I call this podcast Description. And it is, you know, about, you know, description of, you know, my life and description of this city and this country I see around me. But it also comes from what I do for my day job. If you've ever seen my blog, descriptionto.blogspot.com, it says in the profile that my day job is making movies for the blind. And in fact, that's what Sheila Rogers actually said on the CBC, when usually I just use that as some silly, pithy way to say what I do, when that's not entirely completely true, though it sort of is. And it was just a takeoff on Songs for the Deaf by Queens of the Stone Age. Anyway, what I do for a living is called description. Called describe video, it's called audio description, it's called video description, it's called, I don't know whatever the fuck it's called, a whole bunch of different things, but it's essentially that idea. Also, if you've seen the blog, you may have heard different, sometimes I will plug shows or whatever that's going to be on TV, or it's going to be on a service called Voiceprint, in audio form entirely, that people can check out online. I'll give links and all that stuff. But it still probably isn't very clear to anybody unless they actually went to the trouble to listen to that stuff when I've plugged it. And, you know, you do enough. So this show is going to be about that. Okay, let me sit down here. Assume the position I intend on assuming for this with the squeaky chair to be a little further away from the mic. Sorry about that, but there's a reason why the mic is where it is for right now. And someday I'll explain it to you. I'm sorry. All right. The pithy phrase was movies for the blind. All right. What does that mean? It means, well, they're movies and TV shows and educational videos and commercials and whatever that's in visual media. And when I say the blind, that doesn't necessarily only mean the blind, the totally blind. It means people who are vision impaired, which means you don't have to be like totally blind. Or it could be someone who is, maybe you're just working in the kitchen while you're listening to the TV. Or you're you listen to a movie on a CD in your car, like an audiobook. Eh? Any instance in which you may not be watching it. But what makes us different from other people who do this line of work, and there are other people who do this line of work, they just suck. I'm kidding. No, I'm not. No, it's just a different... it's just a different philosophy. There are very different schools of thought in how to do this. And in our school of thought, we're not only describing for the vision impaired person, we're describing for the vision-impaired person who would be, quote-unquote, watching a TV show or a movie with friends and family who are sighted. Now, so the intention is that the person who is vision-impaired and the person who is sighted experience the movie simultaneously. Okay? The other school of thought of description is that, let's just put in all the information we can. Who gives a fuck when we put it in, so long as it gets in, and the vision-impaired person has all the information. Okay. Meanwhile, the vision-impaired person is, like, kind of thrown off of the flow of how the story's being told, right? Going, excuse me, we're going to stop some of the action of this television show so we can tell those vision-impaired people what's going on. So everybody else was going to have to wait for them. Well, we think that sucks, right? So if you say things in just the amount of time that you have to say them, while that's the thing you're saying is happening, then everybody experiences everything that they can at the same time. It's more inclusive. It's not like, oh, we're waiting for the other people. We're going to say this ahead of time for the other people. No, there's no other people. Everybody's together. That's how we do description. Tra-la. Now, the disadvantage of that is that you can't say everything that you'd like to say. You know what they say about a picture being worth 1,000 words? We're the ones who have to edit down the 1,000 words. So what I'm going to do here is I'm going to demonstrate. Well, I'm not really going to demonstrate. I'm actually going to do it. Part of what I do in description is I write. It's not the only thing I do, and I'm not the only writer. Thank God. Because I only do easy stuff. I don't do a lot of heavy lifting. And one of the shows that I do is another great Canadian thing that most people don't realize is Canadian. The Doodlebops. It's a kids' series. It's on here on CBC, and it's on Disney in the U.S. and the U.K. It's a big hit. Nobody knows. It comes out of Toronto. And like, all Canadian, all right? I'm not kidding. And they're great people. And it's a half-hour show, and the CBC version has description. And that's us. And I wrote season 2, and I'm writing season 3, and I have in my very hot little laptop right now a DVD of the of a rough version of the next episode I have to work on, which is 306, and so I'm going to do a little bit of the writing. And we get like pretty much a day to do it, so I ask that I have a rough version so I can write it ahead of time. Because these damn broadcast people think everything has to be at the last minute. Anyway, so I have the speakers up. Usually what I like doing is I like just taking the laptop to Future Bakery and getting some coffee and sitting on a couch and got my earbuds in, and I just knock off a fucking show. But for the purposes of the podcast, I'm going to do this at home here with the squeaky chair. But I do have some coffee. Now, what is part of my process, each writer does things differently. I was never actually formally trained to do this. This was just from producing all these years and eventually kind of fell into it. I've now taken the laptop and I've put it on my lap, and I'm sitting here, and I move the mic a little bit here, and I have the external speakers on behind me. Already I've watched the DVD in order to determine a couple things. One, some of what I have to do. Two, to find out that this is the first fucking DVD this season that's got a fucking scratch on it. It just fucking figures. The other five this season have been like fucking pristine. No problem whatsoever. I get one for 306 that I'm going to do on podcast. It's got a fucking scratch on it, and like about 2 minutes in, it freezes up. Fuck. But I found out that on the other side of the 2 minutes or whatever, it's okay. And I'm going to edit this all out anyway, so I'm going to write what I can. There's going to be the squeaking of my shoulder on my computer table. And that's really going to be annoying. Anyway, okay. Stop squeaking! All this squeaking, for God's sake! Okay, let me see what I got here. Okay, first I'm going to bring up Word. Okay, so if you don't know what the Doodle Bops is, have our kids show. It's basically, it's like the Monkees, but there's three of them, and their personalities are more distinct, and they have costumes and makeup and wacky hair, and they do wacky things, and they're very good friends, and they learn important lessons that aren't really learned all that earnestly. So it's not as nearly as annoying as it could be. Believe me. When I was first glancing at this thing before I knew I was going to do it, I would just sort of switch by it. I would be like, what the fuck is that? I was thinking that it was going to suck. But then I got to start doing it, actually start working on it. I got to move the dock. I'm on Mac, in case you don't know. Turn hiding on. Okay, beginning of desk. Okay, I got that. What else do I need? Probably an old episode I've already written. So I have some reference. One of the many things I love about the Doodle Bops is that they have a lot of repeated sections that are the same every episode. What annoys me about season 3, here's a preview, fans, is that some of the things are not exactly the same. They change it up every episode, like the whole get on the bus thing, and the bit at the end, how long that is, and whether they even have one or two songs. They start changing these things up, and it's really annoying. But fortunately, still, there are kids who love repetitiveness. So, there's a lot of repeated sections, so there's stuff that I don't have to write anymore, because I can just copy what we did in previous episodes. Okay, all of this is pretty much based on the time code of the show. The Doodlebops episode 306, All by Myself. That's what the title is. Thank you, Eric Carmen. Okay, I'm ready to rock. And I'd go 00, 00, 00, opening sequence. Now, I write based on time code because there are two important things to what we do in description. One is to be able to say what the fuck is going on. It's not just what the fuck is going on. It's to tell as much as you can tell in the time that it happens, so the vision impaired person, or as my old creative director used to say, VIP. I'm the creative director now, by the way. Hi. As much as they need to know to continue following the story. And if you have time to tell more, great. But not so you've lost track of the narrative. We're helping to tell the story. We're not just describing, we're helping to tell the story. So those are the motivations that we have here. I'm clicking this to start. Now, yeah, there's something you want to hear. So I have time code ticking away here in the upper left corner. So for every description that I write, I have to put a time code where I would like it placed when it gets produced, so that when it gets said, that's when the thing that gets said is happening, okay? So everything's going to start with a time code. What was I going to say? I said this was a rough version, so basically it means the sound is unmixed and there are some elements that are missing, sound elements that are missing. So it basically means you're not going to hear everything. The sound is not as it should be. This is partially how I'm avoiding the copyright thing. For one thing, it's not a finished product yet, so nobody owns it, right? There is a fairly finished product in the form of the actual DVD here that I'm going to play, but I'm not going to play very much of it at a time. I'm going to be talking over it, and I'm going to be talking about it, which qualifies for fair use, I think. So these are the various ways that I'm dancing around the copyright thing. Basically, people are going to be too fucking bored to worry about recording this thing. Okay, let's see what I've got here. Buzz through the opening sequence here. And this also gives me a chance in the regular opening sequence that, again, we've already recorded. Because there's just the theme song going on, we'll leave room for the theme song because everybody loves the theme song. But this is a chance to introduce characters. You don't always get that in a series or a movie. To say, you know, so-and-so has this kind of hair and everybody's name, because there's like a gang of characters. Everybody's name and kind of what they... Well, I can't really say in too much detail what they all do, but at least one element of what they do. Like... Mr. Moosehead is up on the wall in the clubhouse, and Mudge peeks out from behind the vanity mirror, and bus driver Bob drives the tour bus everywhere, and Jasmine is their manager, and she snaps her fingers, and magic things happen when she snaps her fingers, and Audio Murphy runs the... Everybody's got one little element, so you can't say a whole lot of stuff about them, but you can say at least one thing about them. And identify their name. You don't always get that chance in a series. So I try to... Now, during the whole opening sequence, I don't say all the wacky little clips that are going on during the sequence. Just that, you know... In the first season, I think I said something about, you know, having fun around the clubhouse and whatever the hell. Okay, here's where I get to do stuff. And a graphic comes up, the doodlebobs, the dancer's conundrum. Okay, that's where I start to do something. Dee Dee just said the title, so we don't have to say the title, which is nice. Thank you, Dee Dee. And here at 10104, I type that in. Now I'm typing in my opening audio cue, because we're also fitting all this description stuff in between people talking. So if we're fitting a description in between people talking, I put down in the script what the last person somebody says gets said before we start describing, and then the next thing that gets said before you start describing. This is a great example right now because it's the beginning scene. I pretty much say the same thing all the time, which is in their big, colorful... clubhouse. I could say that about everything in their lives. And now Dee Dee and Rooney are going to come in the front door and do something. And unfortunately, so I have to say what they do before Dee Dee says, "Hi everybody, it's time for the Doodlebops." So I have to fit in all this crap that I'm going to say before Dee Dee goes, "Hey everybody," because everybody's used to Dee Dee coming in and saying, "Hey everybody." So, unfortunately in season 3, they've started doing more elaborate dances through the door. There are the dances that they will eventually do later in the show that will become the dance of the day. So I have to kind of do a little bit of a thumbnail of what kind of movement they're doing when it will be explained in more detail later. So, I gotta take a look now at what the fuck they're doing and how the hell I'm gonna say it. So, I've already got in their big colorful clubhouse. Da, 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 da. Dee Dee and Rooney spin through the door. Okay, hang on. Oh, first off, I like to go left to right as far as describing people in a line. Rooney and Dee Dee spin through the door. I'm typing this like it's all gonna fit when it probably won't. Dancing is so fucking hard to describe. Fuck. Push their arms out and pat their chests. Put their arms out, pat their chest. I'm doing the movement right now. Push their arms out, pat their chest. Throw their arms out? No. Push their arms out? Yeah, probably. Push their... I'm really hoping people don't take this too literally. Push their arms out and what do you call this? It's like they got the both hands crossed on their chest in front of their heart. You know what I mean? Push their arms out and pat their chests. Pat their chests. Pat their... There's no simpler terms for that. Okay, let's see if this fits in before the whole... Hey, everybody! Hang on. And so that's going to be my first deal here. Hey, everybody. Writing that down. So let me read it back. Which I may not do enough, but is kind of a rule to doing. There used to be a formula for how many spoken words would fit into a second of running time. And it was 3 words per second. But you know full well, without, just as I say that, you know that's bullshit, right? Because longer, shorter words, faster, slower talking. So reading back is really the best way to do it. In their big, colorful clubhouse, Rooney and Dee Dee spin through the door, push their arms out, and pat their chests.
Hey, everybody!
Oh, I'd have to really lead that. Leading means saying what's happening before it happens, which isn't really a great thing to do, which we'd rather not do. Let me take a look here.
All by myself!
Clubhouse. Rooney and Dee Dee spin through the door, push their arms, and pat their chests.
Hey, everybody.
Damn it, bitch! spin through the door. Push their arms out. Okay, what can I get rid of there? Dance in. Dance in is less than spin through the door. Okay. What I want to do is, although I can fit all of this between, and other people would do this, fit this all in between the lines of dialogue. Rooney and Dee Dee don't actually spin through the door until a second or two after I just said that, when I said Rooney and Dee Dee spin through the door. So I'd like to kind of time it out to where Rooney and Dee Dee actually spin through the door. Obviously, less time. So let me see. In their big, colorful clubhouse. Okay, they actually come in at 08. When this whole deal started at 04. Okay. Rooney and Dee Dee dance in, push their arms out, and mop their chests. Nope, still doesn't work. Oh, darn you people and your elaborate dances. The whole show doesn't go like this. Most of the show is easy. There are a couple difficult parts of the show. This is one of them. The other is when Mo hides. And you have to fucking look for Mo. Okay, let me explain to you what they're actually doing. They spin through the door and they do this dance we're going to do later, which is they put both arms out forward as if to say stop, with their palms out forward toward us. Okay, their fingers are wide. They actually flash their fingers to, you know, like 10, and then they bring their hands back to their chest, as if they're kind of, you know, giving themselves CPR or something, okay? So that's the kind of, that's what we're talking about. Obviously, we can't say all that. And in fact, it now looks like we can't do all can't even summarize all of the moves. So we got to do, what are we going to do? I'm probably going to have to lead, and I'm probably going to have to say dance in instead of spin through the door. Spin in is kind of difficult to say. In their big, colorful clubhouse, Rini and Dee Dee spin in. Nah, that sounds stupid. Dance through the door makes more sense. Then they're already in, and we're in, and then they come in. Isn't this exciting? See how I get paid for this? In their big, colorful clubhouse, Rini and Dee Dee dance in. Push their arms out and pat their chests. I don't think that's going to work. And maybe if I do this and I lead a second, maybe that'll work.
All by myself.
In their big, colorful clubhouse, Rini and Dee Dee dance in, push their arms out, and pat their chests.
Hey, everybody.
Kick ass! Okay, so I'll be a little bit early. But not as early as I was. Here's an... Okay, this is the same every episode. 123. And... Whoops. Wrong formatting. And... They... Whoops. This is actually something I could be repeating. I could be copying to different places. They turn to the door. I don't know why they keep turning to the door, because Mo never shows up. He never has showed up behind the door. Which is why I prefer when I have time to actually say that there is a door they're dancing into. But fortunately, these people are creatures of habit, and you pretty much have some idea that they've just danced in through a door. I'm Rooney Doodle. Wah, 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 wah. Turn to the door.
Mo.
See, and then there's Mo. Okay, that was easy. Yes, I'll perform that line too.
And
they turn to the door. There are these kids that come out of nowhere, and I don't do anything with them unless they do anything in particular that takes enough time for me to say something. I think if the kids just hear kids, they pretty much figure it's kids. They're like me or something. Never been able to handle those guys. It's like, why do you come out of nowhere for me?
Mo.
Mo.
Where's Mo?
Where's
Mo?
Okay, there's time to kill here, and they're not doing anything in particular besides looking for Mo, so I get to do stuff like...
Mo! Mo!
One... And by the way, we can talk over her saying that. Mo! Yeah! Because it's not terribly relevant. Rooney... goes looking... around Mo's drums while Dee Dee checks the book shelves. And I'm saying the Rooney part first because that's the first thing. That's the first that happens before Dee Dee checks the bookshelves. Let me see if that fits. Rooney goes looking around Mo's drums while Dee Dee checks the bookshelves.
Mo!
Okay, so I can actually have that Mo. Mo! Be up to that because it takes about a second for actually Dee Dee to get up to the bookshelf part. So it would be... Rooney goes looking around Moe's drums, while Dee Dee checks the bookshelves. Yeah, it works. Oh, and there's that little bugger, and he's tiny size. And he's on the fucking bookshelf. And he shows himself just at the time that Dee Dee turns away. Isn't that always the way? That's scamp. Anyway, who's surprised that he's the drummer? Thank you. Tiny, he pops out. Glamorous, isn't it? Well, there's plenty of time right before that inserted ADR of him laughing that hasn't been mixed yet. Two things are happening. Dee Dee's turned her back. Mo has come out between these books on the shelf, and he's really, really small. These are the things we got to deal with here. Okay, these two things happen at the exact same time. But then there's more, the camera lingers on Mo for a while. So, as she turns away, maybe I should just call him Tiny Mo. Tiny Mo steps out between the books. Then ducks back in. And in this case, the audio cue would be him laughing. That ADR of him laughing. That's rather badly mixed right now. As she turns away, Tiny Mo steps out between the books, then ducks back in. Now, it's a couple days later. I got the script written. It's a lot easier when you're not explaining to someone what you're doing. And then to go back to the office, recorded it while my producer Emily was doing other stuff that involved video, because we're just giving them the audio. I can do that myself in my office. So I put that together and placed it based on how it sounded, and especially how it looked in the video and the picture, so that I could adjust it to where the things actually happen and place the descriptions where they're supposed to happen in the video. Does that make any sense? Stuff I explained earlier. Anyway. So placed it, mixed it, made the mix into a WAV file, a mono WAV file, because it only runs on one track, a little bit more on that later. Sent the WAV file over to the kids at Doodlebop's post, and then it ends up being on the show. So here's a piece of that finished product, the section that I was trying to write, including the place where the DVD fucked up. And it goes a little something like this. We're the Doodlebops, we'll sing and dance with you. We're the Doodlebops.
The Doodlebops, with narrative description by Audiovision.
All by myself.
In their big, colorful clubhouse, Rooney and Dee Dee dance in, push their arms out, and pat their chests.
Hey, everybody.
It's time for
the Doodlebops. I'm Dee Dee Doodle.
I'm Rooney Doodle. And
they turn to the door.
Mo?
Where's Mo?
Where's Mo?
Where's Mo?
Come on and help us look for him. Mo? Mo?
Rooney goes looking around Mo's drums.
Mo?
While Dee Dee checks the bookshelf.
Mo?
As she turns away, Tiny Mo steps out between the books.
Mo?
Then ducks back in. Rooney joins her by the shelf.
That's Mo's laugh! Do you know if Mo is around here somewhere?
He's hiding on the bookshelf!
Great! Thanks for the tip!
He hides between two books.
I'll check this shelf. You check that one.
Okay.
Dee Dee finds him.
Wait a minute. He's between two books!
She tries to pull him out.
Whoa, he's in there tight. Real tight. Can you help me, Rune?
Sure thing, Dee.
Rooney pulls Dee Dee as she pulls Mo, who pops out and grows to full size.
Ta-da! Here I am! A little help goes a long way.
You got that right, Rune. Now let's go! I'm Dee Dee Doodle.
I'm Rooney Doodle.
I'm Mo Doodle.
And we're the Doodle Box.
Okay, so I happen to be home during the day. I have a day off today. And hang on, I gotta put the aggro down. And unfortunately, my people running this building are testing fire alarms today. So shit's gonna go off. Damn it. But I wanted to show one last thing. You wonder, okay, so you got all that stuff done, and I get it, and it sounds okay and all, but how do people get it on the television? Well, that's an excellent question that's still being answered, actually. But most of what is on broadcast television described is on the secondary audio program. Now, I'll have a link with information about what the hell that is on the blog, but it's a separate audio channel that's on most TVs and VCRs, remember them, and on digital. The weather description actually shows up is kind of up to the whims of the cable company or whatever. But you may know SAP, especially you guys in the States, for, you know how sometimes at the beginning of, like, Everybody Loves Raymond, it would say, SAP en Español. Well, that's because they'd use the SAP to run everything in Spanish. But here, although on CPAC, the government-type channel, they use this to put things in French and English. Elsewhere, that's where you find description. So it just so happens, while they're testing stupid fire alarms, that the Doodle Bops is on CBC right now. Actually, on the TV. So let me turn this on. I'm going to turn on my VCR. And it's the normal show. Okay. Ooh, they're playing Rock, Paper, Scissors. Usually I'd be talking here. They all dance. That'd be me. Hey! Okay, so now I'll turn this on. In my particular case, it's different for everybody, which makes this really fucking difficult to sell to people. But here's an example. Here's my example. I'm on Rogers Cable, downtown Toronto. I have a VCR. And I have a stereo VCR, so I can't actually get SAP through the, I can't get SAP through my television, it's too old. There are new televisions who would have it, and it would be through some kind of a setup menu for audio, whatever, the same place where you'd find stereo, mono, whatever. But I can find it on the VCR. So here's what I do. Menu, this is on my VCR remote. Menu, come on, menu, setup. There's actually a SAP setting here, along with auto repeat, blue screen, audio, blah, blah, blah. I go down to SAP and turn it on. Now, right now, because it's stereo, you would have the description on one channel and you would have the real thing on one channel, so the mix is fucked up. So I go to audio output and go to the right channel, because we're actually on the right channel.
Hitting the triangle. She disappears.
And there I am.
And how do you always win like that, Mo? What's your secret?
Yeah.
Well, I just use my lucky four-leaf clover.
He shows it off.
How did you get it?
Way back.
There's me.
When we did our first show.
Here I was.
I was really nervous. So I went outside for some fresh air. And there, sticking out of the grass, was this clover. So I picked it up. And that night, we did our show, and everything went great.
I love things like that, because they tell the story for me. I don't have to say anything.
Why it went so well? Not because your clover's lucky, but it is lucky, Rune. And the more I have it, the luckier I get.
Clover or no clover, the one thing I feel luckiest about is having two friends like you.
Right back at
you.
I just love this bot.
I'm going to turn this back on so we can try to go out with the theme song. So again, thank you so much doing the joke now. Crazy Dee Dee and her jokes.
The movie ends, and the screen goes back up, so the band can do one more song.
So thank you. We'll go out with the Doodlebops theme. Thank you, Doodlebops. You guys are awesome. You guys are awesome. And a bunch of French stuff after this. Take care.
Goes down.